The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
You will have seen that the Gardaí warned yesterday that children, right, as young as 15, are being recruited by crime gangs and it's to launder money through their bank accounts. So, Ronan Murphy, you're the CEO of SmartTech 247. And before we get to those so-called money mules, can we talk a little bit around about the area of cybercrime in general? I presume, has working from home and then the whole destabilising effect on people of the pandemic and the fact that everyone's doing a lot more online, has this led to a kind of a bonanza for cybercrime?
Hi, Brendan. Indeed, it has. The destabilising impact of the pandemic, I mean, 2020 was a record year in terms of data lost and cyber breaches and just the sheer number of attacks on companies, on governments and on individuals. And I guess it was accelerated by the fact that we were in the middle of the pandemic. The bad guys are getting more sophisticated. There's a lot of new technologies like, you know, 5G and artificial intelligence coming on stream. And then you're starting to see a very worrying trend of collaboration between the hackers and governments such as Russia and China and North Korea and so forth. So it's almost a perfect storm, you could say.
And listen, you say cybercrime is actually fairly easy to get involved in for people.
For
the criminals themselves, it's an easy thing to get into.
It is. I mean, if you're a very innovative cyber criminal, I mean, it's easier now to sell your skill as a service. So instead of doing the crime yourself, you can sell it as a service, and you can go onto the dark web and you can sell all of your innovation and your techniques to consumers who want to get into the game themselves. And I mean, it's quite sophisticated. They've got menus and they've got pricing schedules and they've got customer support. So it's been consumerized as an industry.
Wow.
And the scale is insane. I mean, if you look at the numbers, I mean, they estimate by, you know, 2025, it's going to cost the world about $10 trillion is going to be the impact of cybercrime on the global economy.
Okay. Now, on the money mules thing, I think the Gardaí said yesterday they've 700 cases in the last year, but I presume that's the tip of the iceberg. And this is people who wash money through their bank accounts. Now, there are witting money mules, I believe, and then there are unwitting ones.
Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, if you look at... Let's start off with what a money mule has to do. So it's all about money laundering, right? So that's the practice of making money which has been obtained from criminal activities and trying to clean it, as you just said. So a money mule is someone who's going to be asked to receive money into their bank account and then transfer to another bank account, or else let somebody take control of their own bank account. And what you see is that initially, when the Gardaí talk about it, people are being caught with accidental money laundering, and they're effectively money mules. So if they're unwitting, they're doing it, they don't know they're doing it.
And how do we avoid becoming an unwitting money mule?
Yeah, that's a good question, right? So, I mean, the pandemic has been brilliant. It's been a bonanza for these guys because it's very effective to try and leverage people who want to work from home. So they'll offer them a job whereby they can make money by doing, it could be social media posts, it could be any type of scam. And then typically they'll be asked to set up a bank account. And they'll get their wages or they'll get money transferred into that specific bank account, and then they'll typically be asked to transfer money out of it. So, I mean, where people have to be aware of is they have to try and understand what the red flags are, and they would be typically unsolicited type of emails or social media posts promising easy money for little or no effort. Employers who are not using proper domain names like, you know, RT or Radio1.com or .ie, they're coming from Gmail or Hotmail or Yahoo or one of those. If they're asked to open bank accounts, or if they're asked to receive funds for any specific reason, then the chances are that they are going to become a money mule and that they're going to try and launder that money. So there's a lot of red flags there. I guess where the problem comes is a lot of people will start off as an unwitting money mule, and then they might too happily become a witting or a complicit
because
money mule.
Because the cash is very attractive, yeah. I mean, like what
Indeed.
The guards were saying yesterday is that they... the people as young as 15. I think the average age was 18, 19, 19, 20. A lot of college students and stuff are being recruited through social media, and they do know what they're doing, but it's easy money, it's as easy they money. See it.
Indeed, it's easy money. And it's a dangerous game to get into, because if you're getting into money mule business, you're dealing with a very sophisticated organized crime. And the fallout and consequences can be severe. And in addition, if you're caught by the Gardaí or the police, the impact on you can be quite significant too.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me about so-called sextortion and romance scams.
Yeah, I mean, dating scams have become a huge problem. Obviously, in a pandemic, millions of people turn to online dating apps and social networking sites to meet other people, because they can't meet them in real life, let's say. But instead of finding romance, I guess a lot of people are finding scammers who are trying to trick them out of their money. I think it was estimated last year, 2020, it was about $350 million was the amount of money people lost in online dating scams. And then it gets a little bit more sinister, right, which it gets into the area of sextortion. And that's the practice of extorting money from someone by
to do something compromising, essentially.
Correct. Yeah. Reveals, you know, photos or so forth, yeah. and then blackmail them. And threaten to share those photos online. And it's a big problem, because I was reading a study recently by Transparency International. And I mean, what they found was that sexual extortion, it's largely ignored or underreported and indeed unpunished worldwide. The results, it showed that there's a huge unawareness about this. There's huge embarrassment about the victims who don't want to come forward. So it's a big, big problem. And it's unfortunately, it's an area that typically it's men fall for it. And it's usually teenagers or men in their early 20s. And both the mental impact of it and the financial impact of it are quite serious, and it's growing at a pretty significant rate.
Okay, what do people need to watch out for there then, in terms of avoiding that?
Yeah, it's where love escalates quickly on an online platform. It's where they ask for money or they lure you out of, say, the online dating environment into a different type of environment. It's where, you know, you don't get to meet them because they're traveling or they need money off you for hospital bills or whatever, the type of story that they put forward. But I think it's ultimately the message I would put out there would be, the minute you put something compromising of yourself out there in a digital format, that's going to follow you for the rest of your life, right? It's a huge lesson for especially young people in the era of TikTok and WhatsApp and, you know, all these social platforms. But your digital footprint it's very problematic for young people to try and navigate that now. And, you know, when they put those photos or videos, whether they share them with someone who's close to them or they share them with a stranger, it presents significant risk for them in the future, you know.
Okay. Now, another one then is ransomware. And you say this is very easy for people to get their hands on, and it's kind of a low level thing they grind away at. Then how does it work? How does ransomware work for a victim, like?
Yeah, so ransomware is evolving. It's quite an interesting trend to follow it, right? So it started off targeting organizations, businesses, so they'll go in and they'll encrypt all of your data, and then it's extortion, right? So they'll say, look, you pay us $20,000 and we'll give you your data back. But interestingly now, it's very much starting to go after, let's call them influencers or even individuals, where it goes after their social media accounts. It might be their Instagram account, or it might be their any social platforms they're using, where if they can get the access to that account, as in their username and password, that they'll lock them out of it and they'll charge them to get it back. So ransomware, it's taking many forms, it's taking many shapes. It is a huge problem. Again, it's something that goes very much unreported. Organizations tend to try and just recover from it. And the global impact of it and the cost of it is insanely expensive. It's very, very damaging. I mean, I've seen many companies go out of business after the result of a ransomware attack. And the cost of trying to remediate it, whether you negotiate with these guys and try and pay them, or you try and recover your business from it if you don't have proper backups, can be quite substantial.
And listen, and you're paying them in Bitcoin or some cryptocurrency, are you?
Yeah, over the years, I mean, I've negotiated with many of them.
Have you?
Many of the I have.
And can you negotiate with them, can you?
Yeah, indeed. I've paid many hundreds of thousands of dollars to guys in Russia and China and the Philippines.
So when you say
years.
Negotiate, though, you do have to end up paying something usually, yeah?
You do. I mean, they may turn around to you and say, look, it's $1 million to decrypt all of our servers if it's a large company. And you'll say to them, well, we'll give you 20,000. And they'll say, well, give us $500,000. And then you'll settle somewhere in the middle for X amount of servers. It's a cat and mouse game, right? It's not something anybody will ever recommend you do in terms of paying them. But unfortunately, the cold, harsh reality of it is in some situations, organizations will find themselves in a situation where they've no other choice. And the negotiation is crazy. I mean, the sums of money they look for, and the scale at which these guys are doing it is phenomenal. How you try and barter them down to get a good deal, to get the decryption keys to retrieve your data, it's a bit of an art form, to be honest.
Wow, and I'm thinking then, like, that could be some 15-year-old who's selling his services on the dark web to these Russian guys to do this extraordinary stuff.
Yeah, it is. But typically, I think the guys who get a lot of traction, they're well orchestrated, well organized. I mean, we're typically dealing with call centers in Moscow or St. Petersburg, and there's a whole chain of command, and there's a program team, and there's a quality team. So when they give you keys, you have to go through a process of trying to decrypt the data. And they'll talk you through that process. They'll have customer support services.
Good God. Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's big business, you know.
Listen, Ronan, before you go, will you tell people, this is probably something people should look out for themselves. Tell us about these kind of shotgun tactics that cyber criminals will use to draw ordinary people in.
In what regard, Brendan?
In terms of like offers of free codes to use Netflix and all that kind of stuff that really people shouldn't, things that look too good to be true.
Yeah, look, it's the old saying, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product, right? So anything that, and you've hit the nail on the head, anything that looks too good to be true typically is too good, right? So, you know, when these guys are offering you anything for free, there's an end game there. That could be typically to compromise your user credentials. It could be to use you as a money mule. It could be, you know, these guys are getting so intricate in terms of how they can compromise you. So, I mean, you the answer was in the question you posed. If it looks too good to be true, it typically is too good to be true. My advice for anybody is just be careful on what you click. Specifically, we saw this week the Fastway Couriers had a major breach. The reason it wasn't a mistake they were breached. The reason they were breached was they were targeted because they want the names and addresses of people who were ordering from Littlewoods or Currys or whoever their clients are, and they will send them phishing emails. They'll try and get them to click on it, and then they'll either try and steal their credentials, implement ransomware on their devices. So, I mean, these guys are smart. They're very topical. They'll go after things that are resonating with people at the start of the pandemic. I mean, you saw a huge amount of phishing emails from the revenue commissioners and the Department of Employment and Social Protection, and they were coming in the form of text messages and emails. And obviously DHL and Amazon and FedEx and Fastway and all these guys now are being targeted in a big way too. So my advice, I mean, to summarize...
Yes, because we can't just freak people out like that and not give a bit of advice before you go quickly.
Yeah, my advice quickly before I go is, look, people just have to think before they click.
Okay.
You know, and if it looks too good to be true, it typically is.
Okay, Ronan Murphy, CEO of Smart Tech 247 Cybersecurity. That was great. Thank you very much.